gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the internet. Here in the basement of the Great Hall of Justice are the most powerful forces for good podcasting ever assembled. This is the DC Superpowers Podcast.
This looks like a job for Superman.
To the Batmobile.
My name is John Jones.
I am the Green Arrow.
Hey, super friends, welcome back to issue 38 of DC Superpowers Podcast for New Comic Book Day, January 11th, 2017. I'm your host, Ken Rose, and sitting along with me, as always, here in the basement of the Hall of Justice is my good buddy, Vern.
Hello, everybody.
So, Vern, how have you been this week?
Pretty good. A little busy scheduling classes again, but I will still have time for comic book reading.
Oh, yeah. That's always fun at the beginning of the year, and then in the middle of the winter, you got to go back and schedule them again. You're almost done, though,
yeah,
aren't you? Or at least with this part of it.
I thought this was going to be my last semester, but I have one more semester after this, so not too long.
Cool. And then you going on after that, or is that done total?
I'll probably take a little bit of a break, especially for money reasons, and then I'm going to see what I can do back on you.
No. Didn't you know the secret? No? The secret is you always take classes, and you never have to pay it back. As long as you're always in class, they keep deferring it.
True. Because that's how I got by so far. Did I ever tell you my uncle was, I think in his late 50s, he might have been turning 60, and he was still going to Akron U?
Hey, eventually they're going to want their money back, but...
They are, but he was like, I found a way how to beat the system.
Yeah.
I mean, he would just go down with a suitcase and a suit on. It's like, what are you doing here? Right, shouldn't you be like left years ago?
Eventually, they just think he's part of the school. Like, okay.
He just lives here now.
If you go home and don't come back, we'll forgive your debt.
Spend the rest of your life here. That's the deal. But
So, we got a little bit of news this week, a little bit.
Yeah, I was going to say, we found some interesting stories. Not that much, but enough to keep people's interest. And we also have a couple things from last year. Found some winners from IGN.
Oh, yeah.
And DC took home a lot of awards from them.
Oh, yeah, I saw a couple of those. I didn't see all of them yet, but the cool thing I found here was we saw last week that Geoff Johns was talking about what he's looking forward to coming up this year for DC Comics. And Dan Abnett sat down with comicbook.com and did the same thing. He was talking about some of the stuff that he's got coming up and some of the stuff the Watchmen stuff that he's already put in his Titans comics. And
I've
talked about it before. Titans has been amazing.
Yeah, I finished off one of the comic books really good. It was the Titans. I was surprised to see that.
Yeah. Well, what's cool is I told you earlier, Titans has, with Wally West and Titans, I've started to remember why I love Wally West and why he's one of my top favorite heroes of all time.
And that's actually one of the things they mentioned. I'll say it now. We're going to get more into it. But it won, I think, best moment of IGN comic book elite. Best moment in the comic book of the year was Wally West return in Rebirth.
Cool.
Well, that was something fans were really curious about. Where's Wally?
Yeah, that's a character that when he was gone totally, it's like there was a noticeable absence, which is what they built Rebirth on. And speaking of that, I told you towards the end of last year, Comixology actually had a sale on some of what they call the essential DC trades, and I got Titans Hunt for $6 on Comixology. I'm about halfway through it now. Amazing, amazing story.
Yeah, and that I really like that because it showed just the original team members, but they're older, a little bit wiser.
Oh yeah,
and they gave some of them some new names.
A little bit, but also the nice thing is this is before Rebirth happened, but after if you're reading it after Rebirth, you find wait a minute, they teased Rebirth so huge in this title because the Titans are not to get. Where I'm at in the story, the Titans are not together. They've never been together. They don't even remember ever being the Teen Titans. Something happened. They figured out something happened that basically forced them, either they forced themselves or something else forced them to forget ever being the Titans.
Yeah, and they also had Hawk and Dove in there. I didn't think I was going to get any mention of them.
Hawk and Dove, Caveboy is in there with them.
Who else was?
Another one, Harold. Harold's in it, and I don't remember that character at all.
Bumblebee, you remember Young Justice, right?
Well, yeah, Bumblebee's in it also, yes. No, I don't remember Harold. Young Justice at all. We were just screaming for it to come back until they made the announcement.
He was he was a not big part in there, but he had a pretty good part in there. Him and Bumblebee, they were the younger heroes that went to school with them. They found out, hey, these guys could be superheroes. And I remember the first episode, Superboy saw Harold wearing Superman shirt, and he's like, oh, so the superheroes have these logos that the public can just wear like this.
Yeah,
but he looked up to him then, so. Seeing him back in the comic books, too, I was happy. I thought they might have forgot about some of them. But no, they had, like, almost every single original member that was on the team from the 70s.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking a lot of these are, if they were 70s, they were late. Or actually, these were probably the ones right before Wolfman and Perez rebooted it, aren't they? Or those these after the reboot?
I think some of them were used for both.
Okay. Because I know after the reboot, the start team was the one we saw from the late 90s Titans show. It was Robin, Wonder Girl, which they couldn't use on Titans for some reason, the Titans TV series.
They used her in the comic books, but not
they brought in early 80s Wolfman and Perez, the ones that brought in Starfire, Raven, Beast Boy, and Cyborg.
Okay.
And others this also,
was,
but.
Guardian was, he was Guardian, actually, Harold.
Okay.
He there was 1976 when he made his appearance in the comic book as Guardian. So, who did this?
It like the Guardian from Superman?
Yes.
With the gold helmet and the shield?
Yep.
Oh, cool.
I can send you a picture if you want.
Sure, I'll look at him. But actually, we can get into the Dan Abnett talking here a little bit since we're already talking about it.
Okay.
He sat down with Comixology. Or not Comixology, but comicbook.com, and had an interview, and I'm just going to pull out some little things here. He said that we've already seen a lot of a lot of things in Rebirth or in Titans that are that have been nods to the Watchmen. Some of the more blatant ones was, I guess, a quote here was, an earlier observation came from the fact that lettering technique suggested Kadabra was actually talking to an unseen third party. When he would otherwise have been, he was talking about an unseen third party when it would otherwise have been safe to assume that he meant one of the Flashes in Titans number 2. In Titans number 5, you see a drop of blood fall onto a watch face held by Kadabra, which is in a very Watchmen-like way. And then in number 6 from this past September, December, which we're actually reviewing today, Omen actually reaches into Kadabra's mind to find a way to defeat him, and among other things, she learns that his plan is cold and calculating, a very clockwork, likely a nod to the various clockwork and clocks clocks that play an important role in Watchmen. And then, more urgently, after he's defeated, Omen says that inside his mind, he quote, "I only really got one word." Manhattan. So that,
and when he said that, that's exactly who my mind went to.
Uh-huh. So he's been putting stuff in there already. The thing is, he's not actually writing the Watchmen story, so everything he puts in there, he said he would love to do a whole lot more Watchmen stuff in Titans, but since he's not, he's only got one of the characters from Rebirth in his book, really. I just saw that picture. That's awesome. That is
cool.
And
this is the last one. This was from Young Justice.
Yeah. I remember that one, but I got to the wrong. There it is. But he said that he would love to do a whole lot more, but right now Wally is the only character that he has that's a Rebirth character. The other characters, the rest of the Titans are Rebirth characters, but Titans actually revolves around Wally so far. It's basically Wally's book. They just happen to put the rest of the Titans with him. It's almost you could almost retitle this Wally West and the Titans.
And the Titans, right?
So, but he said, since he's not the one writing. The Watchmen, he's got to basically run all the ideas up the flashpole, and they're telling him, okay, yes, you can do this, no, you can't do that. So he's extremely happy about the stuff he has been able to put in there.
I am too.
So, but it's cool because since he's not worried about the Watchmen stuff as much, putting little nods in there is awesome, but it's a lot of stuff that if you really, really know the Watchmen, you see it and it's blatantly obvious. It's glaring right in your face when you see a Watchmen reference. If you think it's okay, you might catch a couple of those, but if you don't know Watchmen really, it doesn't make a difference. Because,
you'll miss it.
Yeah, you don't even notice. You go right by it, and you don't even notice it was ever there.
And like the other one was so simple, just saying Manhattan.
Exactly.
If there's a new comic book where he doesn't know too much about the Watchmen, you're like, who? What? Manhattan, New York? What do you mean?
Yeah. Well, it said also that. Wait. mentioning Manhattan. Oh, it's in the next article is the one they're talking about. Oh, there it is. It says, let me get to the last. Oh, if you know Watchmen well, this is Abnett talking. If you know Watchmen well, then they're glaringly obvious. But from the point of view of people who don't necessarily know it as well, and certainly from the point of view of the characters in the story, these have no significance whatsoever. Well, maybe no, not no significance. Maybe the Titans will just think they're talking about the New York borough of Manhattan. Lots of stuff happens there, especially during the occasional Marvel crossover. So remember, usually if DC and Marvel have a crossover, which has happened in the past multiple times, a lot of times it takes place in New York City.
Yeah.
So, but that's the first story here. Now, they have a second part of this interview where there is actually Wally West has remembered a lot of stuff. He came back. He already knew about her. He remembered his the Titans. He remembers Iris, or not Iris. Well, yeah, he remembers Iris, but he remembers Linda. He and Linda are married, or were married. He remembers Barry. He and Barry remember everything about their relationship. There's something he doesn't remember right now, though.
And that's his family.
Yes, he actually is the father of twins, Jai and Iris West. Now, Abner was saying on later on this interview that the fact that they're not there doesn't mean they never will be. Just because he doesn't remember them now doesn't mean that he won't remember them. Right now, he doesn't remember everything from his old life. He's remembered the stuff we need him to. Hopefully, at some point, he's going to remember the rest also. Here's the actual quote. It says, I think Wally doesn't remember everything yet, and I think it would almost be too much of a strain on him and Linda if there was this potential of not just a relationship being broken, but a whole family being lost. I've deliberately downplayed that. However, I do think that's the sort of thing that will come back to him as things progress. I think there are opportunities coming up pretty soon where he will see more of what he's lost and the implications of that. I just wanted to take it one step at a time. So,
and that means the other character is not just them that will be coming back.
Exactly. But that means we were talking earlier about some of the other characters that are missing from the newer Titans, and even other Flash characters, like Bart Allen's is totally missing again now.
Yeah, I was reading another article that they could add in later. Yeah, they said they might bring back a Young Justice team, and that might be how we could get Tim Drake, Superboy Kal-El back.
Possibly.
Casey, Wonder Girl, maybe a Bart Allen, we could do a new Young Justice series. I would be okay with that.
They'd have to reintroduce all of those characters to start before that, though.
That would be awesome, though, if they did.
Yeah.
They did with some of the Titans, explain what happened to them and where they've been. Yeah. So it'd be nice to figure that out, too. Everybody they're reintroducing in Rebirth is an enjoyment to read, though.
Yeah, they've been doing awesome. The nice thing is it's almost like they've embraced the idea of the slow burn.
Mm-hmm.
Build it slowly, a little at a time. Don't rush it. I heard somewhere, and we've talked about it before, that I believe there's a 4-year plan in place here.
Mm-hmm.
So they have time. They're rolling it out a little at a time. They can see what works and what doesn't work so far. I've really not seen anything that doesn't work.
I haven't either. That was one of the problems. It was like one time we were saying we're buying so many books. We didn't have enough time on our hands to read one every single week. But they've been pumping them out so good.
Yeah.
You don't want to miss anything.
When Rebirth started, I was planning on buying 5 or 6 books a week. So $20 is a good place for comic books.
Right.
That 20 books happen. Or less. I'm at like 8 to 10 books a week right now.
Yeah, same here. I had to cut back. I'm in trouble. I think I was up to 12. I had to cut back to 8.
In February, they're introducing 4 or 5 new books.
Yep. Some of them, thankfully, are... I think some of them are like a mini-series, like 6 parts.
Well, no, we got Justice League of America is coming.
Right.
But that's an actual regular run series.
What about the Justice League, just like Vixen, Adam, the Ray?
That's the one I'm talking about, Justice League of America.
The Rebirth ones
they're doing right now are introductions to bring into Justice League of America.
The other ones. Okay. Oh, man. Yeah,
that's the one. Yeah, Justice League of America remembers the one with Vixen, Ray,
Adam,
Batman, Lobo, Killer Frost. All those are Justice League of America.
Right.
I think there's one or two more in there, but...
Yeah, I know there's one where I can't think of who.
But as far as I know, regular Justice League's still going to be going.
But as we said, since they're switching up some of the team members, who's going to be on the new Justice League? That could give us a new character for there, or we could just see Batman go back and forth.
Yeah.
And I'm also wondering, what does this mean for the Suicide Squad, Justice League versus Suicide Squad? If Killer Frost is going to be in the new Justice League of America,
It's going to be interesting to see where it goes. Well, remember, Justice League versus Suicide Squad is only a 6-issue series.
Right. So it's going to be, what we got, 3 more weeks?
Yeah, 3 more after this week. Well, we're reviewing number 2 this week, but yeah, number 3 is sitting here on my desk. So, but no, some of the other ones we're getting is, I know in February we're getting Batgirl is getting her new series. They're revamping February and March, they're revamping Detective, remember? At some point in there, Tim Drake's coming back. Azrael's joining the team. We've already added Batwing to the team. So it's going to be interesting to see what they're going to do with Batwing and Tim Drake in there, because they kind of fill the same role.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, you could see Tim Drake, if Batman does do Justice League and Justice League of America, they could have Batman take a smaller role in that book and have Tim Drake fill the Batman role almost as the mentor and leader.
They could.
Because you think of all the heroes that are in that book so far, he's got really the most experience.
Yeah, well, from what it seems like, he seems like they're making him more so the leader.
That's what I was saying.
Yeah.
He's he's the elder statesman of the team, really.
Yeah, I was going to say, usually it was Superman's role, but because of what happened with the New 52 to Rebirth, they trust him, but they're still trying to get used to him being there.
Oh, wait, you're talking about Batman on the Justice League teams?
Yeah.
See, I'm talking about Tim Drake on the team on Detective Comics.
Detective Comics.
Yeah. Tim Drake has really more experience than anybody else that's in the detective books other than Batman and Batwoman.
Which I thought there would be Batwoman to take over, but...
Well, she's taking her own book.
Oh, so yes, that's right.
So if he steps up into more of the Batwoman role,
Tim
would
Drake
be
would
in this.
Be a good replacement.
And then you bring in Azrael also. Tim Drake would be a great replacement for training and teaching the team.
Yeah, he would. I can see that happening. As we say, he's been leader of Teen Titans, Justice.
That's where I was going next, was the fact that we've seen him in a leadership role of a team already. So
right. I can see that happening. That would be fine with me.
Mm-hmm. But remember, we've got a third new title for February is we're getting Super Sons.
Oh, yes, that's right. That's one we've been anticipating.
Yeah.
Man, that came by pretty quick.
Yeah. Well, this whole year has been going so fast with the books. Just, I think some of it feels like it's going so fast because they're progressing stories a lot faster, going twice a month on a lot of them.
Right.
Now, if they cut back on the twice monthly on some of those, that'd be a little easier, I think.
It would, but as many books as they have, I think they have to pump them out like that. So they can give you this story, they can give you this story, they give you this book. You just have to pick out, I think, what story you want to focus on for right now.
Yeah. So that's most of the stuff I had on Dan Abnett. And but there's a lot of stuff coming with Titans. Looks like it's going to be amazing. This week's Titans that actually comes out as we're recording, it'll be in the review or the previews. Remember, is it in the previews for this week? Let me look.
It's you're right.
Titans number 7 actually has.
It
looks like it's a one off because it's Wally and Superman.
Yeah, it doesn't say part 1 or part 2. It's just home food home with Wally. So
we'll give you the preview of that here in a couple minutes. But
Titans
has been going strong. It's within the top 5 books of my favorites coming out. So right.
Oh
now.
Yeah, mine too. I think we started off saying that the first time we was getting the Rebirth. We were like, "What's our favorite comic book series so far?" We both said Titans, and it was because of Wally.
So, and the nice thing is, we've been talking about Rebirth with everybody's lists and stuff. We'll see in the let's get into the IGN awards a little bit now. And before I make my point, we'll let the IGN awards make my point for me. And this one is actually one you brought to us. So
I was just searching for things that happened good last year from DC. Since this is still like the first week of the new year, let's see what won the awards or what might have really stood out from last year's comic books. IGN, they usually stay really focused with games, TV, movies, comics, anything you want, anime. So I went to their comic book list and wanted to see what won winners of their top books of last year. Now, Marvel took home IGN's best comic book of the year, and
now
that was
The
Vision.
Well, I saw all of these actually have 2 winners on each one. They have the IGN pick, and then they have
People's Choice. So for People's Choice, Superman won.
That's why I wanted to get into this first, because I've been so impressed with Superman in Action, Detective, and Batman. Because as of right now, I would say those are probably the top 4 books, at least Superman and Detective, for me, are the top 2 books for DC right now. And that means, because of Rebirth, they've done something right. Because the Batman and Superman should be standing on top of your list. That's the way DC has always been built. Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman. And a lot of people put Wonder Woman up there with those 2 as the best 3 books out right now.
Yep, I would.
And obviously, the readers or the people who go to the website for IGN agree that Superman was the best comic of last year. If you look at the nominees, it was from everywhere. You had Black Hammer from Dark Horse.
They had everything.
Black Widow from Marvel. Image's Deadly Class. Doom Patrol from Young Animal. The Mighty Thor from Marvel. Monstrous from Image. Saga from Image. Superman from DC. Vision from Marvel. Wicked and Divine from Image. So they had books from across the spectrum.
And in saying that, this is also carrying the legacy on even for their children now, which is the new Superboy and Robin, Damian Wayne. Because next one I was going to hit for was, this was IGN and the people. What was the best comic cover of 2016? It was Superman issue number 10. This was when we got to see a little glimpse into Super Sons. It was the world's finest and their children staring each other down. And as Ken said, this was all over the place from anybody could have voted, but DC took that one. They had Scarlet Witch number 5. They had Slam number 1, Moon Knight number 5, and The Amazing Spider-Man issue number 16. But once again, DC took home both of them.
And it wasn't a variant cover. That's the actual main cover.
Yeah.
It was the one where it's Batman and Superman squaring off and Robin and Superboy squaring off below them.
And as I mentioned earlier, best moment from IGN was Wally West's return.
Oh, yeah.
And also, that was even for the fans. They even wanted to see Wally come back. So they both gave it for that one. And also, the writer of the year kind of surprised me. Who was this?
Let me look.
He wrote for Tom King.
Tom King from Batman. Mm-hmm. Well, he wrote Batman, Vision, Omega Men, and Sheriff of Babylon.
Mm-hmm. The fact that he wrote on Batman issue number 1 for Rebirth made me a little happy, because that means they were on a strong start, and he even kept going really well with everything else he's done this year. So he just knew what to pick and knew what fit him. And
if I remember right,
DC was one of them.
We're, 7-8 months almost into Rebirth, and I believe most of the writers that started the books are still on the same books right now.
Yep.
So another one was, if you look at best limited comic or miniseries, that was taken by Superman American Alien.
Yep, and that was when I was saying, boy, that looks like it's going to be really good this year. I haven't got a chance to read it.
That's another one that they got both. They got People's Choice and IGN's Choice.
Oh, I didn't scroll down for the runner-up.
The rest of the nominees.
Mentions were Batman and the Teen Titans, not Teen Titans, Batman Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles crossover that IDW and DC did early last year.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was before their Rebirth even took off.
If you go to Best Graphic Novel on IGN Awards for 2016, the People's Choice winner for the Best Graphic Novel was Dark Knight, A True Batman Story from Vertigo DC.
Once again, DC took that home. DC was, they were killing incels, like we said this year.
They killed it this year in general.
And it wasn't just the DC fans helping them with this. It seemed like it was everybody that was a comic reader loved what DC was doing this year.
Exactly. So, we've not been just blowing smoke.
No, we haven't. We have just been hyping it up, guys. Everybody, and listeners, you guys can even speak for this. You've been reading the books. You've been listening to us. Thank you again. And it seems like DC Rebirth has brought a lot of DC fans back together. A lot of our complaints, they answered that. A lot of the questions we've been having, they're answering them. Like every month, we get something new. What happened in Rebirth? Just give it time. They'll show us what's going on, and they're progressing really well.
Mm-hmm.
And we have 2017 to look forward to.
Exactly.
I wonder how many awards we can take home there.
Let's move on to some movie news. We actually, Ben Affleck's back in the movie news again.
Not good news. Not good news.
Well, it's not good news, but it's not bad news either. It's kind of just
not the worst.
It's neutral news, because it's just there's options here.
Right. So if you guys have heard, Ben Affleck hasn't been the happiest guy with Warner Brothers right now with the Batman film. He is supposed to be directing, writing, and starring in the movie. So that's three roles he has to fill up. For doing something like that, which Ben Affleck has done several times in the past, he's done that with a couple movies that came out last year as well.
He's been doing that since the beginning, though, really. If you go all the way back to, I believe he was directed, wrote, and starred in Good Will Hunting way back in the 90s, yeah. I believe he was nominated for an Oscar for Good Will Hunting.
I didn't know he did that much for it. I just thought he was an actor in it.
No, he was the director also. I believe he was the writer.
He did a screenplay for it. The director was Gus Van Sant.
Oh, okay. I thought he did all of them.
Not for that one. I think that came after. I was thinking to myself, he wasn't doing all that just yet. It started coming, I think, a little bit after early 2000s, I want to say. Something like that.
Well, why don't you tell us what's going on with this, and I'll start looking at some stuff.
There's been speculation about the location of the upcoming Batman film starring Ben Affleck. The latest rumors insist that the Batman, at least that's what they're calling it for right now, may be produced on a soundstage instead of an on-location. With much of the plot taking place in Arkham Asylum, which was a resulting mix of reactions among fan base, the shooting would likely take place at Warner Bros. Studios, Burbank, California. Because of the limits of the soundstage, the Batman may resemble some of Tim Burton's stylized of Batman Returns production and some of Christopher Nolan's Dark Knight series. I think that would be great. That sounds actually pretty good. But it also seems the decision-making at Warner Brother connect with the complaining of the project with Ben Affleck. Ben Affleck's participation has been minor for this blockbuster because his likelihood of playing Batman taking place on a soundstage come with its advantages, with some lower overall production costs, but also presents a fair share of its limitations. Batman is known for his high-flying maneuvers across the city that bring a lot of essence to the character, but being in something so small as a soundstage undoubtedly limits the action scenes considered by most. Ben Affleck recently gone on record discussing the current progress of the movie, revealing that the movie's aspects of the production are in a very early stages, including the script. He also is discussing the projects not participating in the project's specifics of production are not going to be paired with his expectations. He is supposed to direct, star, and co-write the film, but with the tedious setbacks of the future Batman project, recently he has been in talk of replacing himself with another director. Due to the lack of interest of the motivating complaints of the project, Joss Whedon is, this is now a rumor, so I'm not going to get onto all that, but this is just basically Ben Affleck. He's a little unhappy with the way production's going, the script, and he said he didn't want to, at first he said he did not want to be attached to anything like a bad Batman film. He doesn't want to have his name anywhere around there, so there were even speculations of who could replace him for acting as the role. But if he did that, that would set back DC and Warner Bros. So much in the movie role. I don't even think they want that to be an option, but they are considering getting a new director, at least. They do not want to give him up as Batman. He's going to be our Batman for the next upcoming years.
Yeah. Well, the one thing that...
at least for now.
This kind of goes back to also... remember, a couple weeks ago, we were talking about how he said that he will not let Warner Brothers dictate when this movie will be done. If he's directing it, it's on his schedule. It'll be done when the movie is complete and he feels it's ready. He's not going to let them rush it through production. That may be what some of this is Warner Brothers says, hey, we want this movie out at this time. And he's like, you know what? I'm not going to work with that. I'm going to get it out. I'm going to make you a good movie. This is when it's going to be, or I can't tell you when it'll be done, but it will be a good movie. They may not like that. They may say, you know what? Let's go with another director that is going to work with a timeline.
Which really bothers me, and I'm really worried about that with DC Productions. I am a DC fan, but as I said, they do have a lot of issues they need to clean up. But after what happened to Rick Famuyiwa from The Flash, if you've lost three directors already, it's probably not the directors. It's probably you. And now Ben Affleck, which has been pumping out great films in the past couple of years, and he's directing them. He hasn't had a bad one yet with he's directed, so why would you compromise this guy's work ethic? Well, work with him, let him take out time, and if he's want to take out more time, we've seen what happened with Suicide Squad. It was a great movie, but we could also tell there were certain parts that DC, or not DC, Warner Bros. Had their hand in with cutting out.
Yeah.
I don't want that to happen with any more films, including Wonder Woman. And hearing this is worrying me just a little bit.
Yeah, I'm thinking that that's what it is they're pushing it, they're saying, hey, Marvel's got 27,000 films out already. We need that many too.
You cannot rush
take your time, build this. Hopefully, with Jeff Johns and John Berg in charge here, that they're going to be able to talk to the studio and say, "Hey, wait.
Hopefully,
let us make good movies.
Right.
Rush these out just to, because what it is these movies at the moment are going to make money no matter what. They said Batman v Superman and Suicide Squad, which arguably were not the best movies of the year, but they were in the top 10 grossing films of the year.
And that's and here's
these
the thing that's getting
these movies are going to make money.
They will, but it's for namesake reasons, not so much the
it's
value.
Not always, it's not Warner Brothers Studios says, hey, we're making money. That's what matters. And Ben Affleck and a lot of the others are saying, no, we want to make a quality superhero movie.
Right. As we just said with the comic books, they planned this out for 4 years with Rebirth, and we don't know what's coming after that.
Mm-hmm.
It's taking time. Do not rush success. If something's going to be a good story and plot development, let it build up. Don't rush it. If you have these writers just pump out something, they're going to have minor mistakes that they say, hey, we didn't have enough time to look over and think of something else because they wanted the film done.
Yeah.
Like Suicide Squad, they only gave them 6 months. That is not enough time to make an outstanding film. Could see improvements from what happened in Batman vs. Superman, but it still had its errors. Now, I did, as I said, I brought this up. When Zack Snyder and Christopher Nolan made Man of Steel, compare those to Suicide Squad and Dawn of Justice, you could tell the timing for the film was completely different. It didn't feel rushed, felt like a new, its own story. You could tell that the studio didn't have their hand in the on all of the decision-making. It was more just Zack Snyder and Christopher Nolan. When I said this before, Zack Snyder can make a great film, but he needs his time, and he needs somebody really good to work with. So.
Well, the problem I see that we had with Man of Steel, which is one I've talked about before, was I enjoyed it. It was a good movie. It just didn't feel like Superman. But the main thing is that Zack Snyder, admittedly, is not a Superman fan.
Mm-hmm.
He's a Batman. He did Watchmen. He grew up – the thing is, he grew up reading 80s comic books from DC, so he was a Frank Miller, what's his name, from Watchmen, Alan Moore. Those are the types of writers that he loved, and those are the movies you're getting, is the dark, gritty, this is the 80s DC, the dark side of DC is what you got. And you got that with the Nolan trilogy of Batman movies.
Yeah.
We got that with Watchmen, obviously. 300 was that way. We got that with Man of Steel. We got that with Batman and Superman.
I know people, like I said, complain about Man of Steel being too dark, and I can agree with that. But I'm saying the tone of the in the making felt a little different. You could definitely tell they had more time for this movie. And they didn't hype it up too much either. And I think that's one thing Warner Brothers does that's bad. They're giving these guys money, and they're saying, hey, you want to see another advertisement? You want to see another advertisement? Product placement? They didn't do that with Man of Steel because they didn't know exactly how fans would receive it after what happened with Superman Returns.
Yeah.
But the fact I think they didn't have so much hype around it, they means also since there wasn't a lot of hype around it, they didn't have their hands in it. So they just kind of gave Zack Snyder, Christopher Nolan, and the company money and gave them time to do with what they wanted with it. And we got a better scripted film.
Yeah. I would have to look it up. But I read a blog today when I was looking for stuff for this from Nerdist. And the writer on there was talking about how – and that's where I got the some of the ideas on Alan Moore and Frank Miller is basically the era of comics they're pulling. The author here was talking about how the writers and directors for DC – or basically the Warner Brothers studio heads need to get out of the 80s. Because right now they're making 80s DC comic book movies.
Mm-hmm. Which they are.
They're trying – they need to move on to some of the people that grew up. Because right now, like I said, Zack Snyder, some of these guys are guys that grew up reading the 80s books.
Mm-hmm.
We need to get to the point where we get to the kids who grew up in the late 80s, early 90s, who were growing up on Bruce Timm's comics, where they were tonally, color-wise, they were in the darker side, but the subject matter in the book or the show itself was not dark.
No,
it
wasn't.
Was fun.
It
was
serious
Batman.
Tone. Yeah.
In a stylized way. And then the one they pointed out with Bruce Timm, what he did fantastic in the Bruce Timm universe, was every show he did felt correct for that character. Batman, it was dark. It was at night. He was a little bit edgy, not too bad.
Not too bad.
When they got to do the Superman the Animated Series, all of a sudden it's bright, cheerful, hopeful.
It was spot on.
They did Superman. You moved on to Batman Beyond, and you got the techno-gritty feel of the techno-Batman. Which is exactly what it was supposed to be. You move on to Justice League Unlimited and Justice League, you
and
got another totally different type of series. Every series was dictated by what characters were in it.
Right, and if you notice, he also would even separate the characters. There was only a couple Justice League episodes where you've seen the whole team working together for that episode. They usually split up to about four or five members at a time.
But they were talking about how...
Give them a little less to work with, but more to give out to the public.
We need... Well, this article was talking about how we need to move on to... people that grew up admiring the characters from this time period. Because that's when I was reading comics, too. Reading comics was similar to that. Remember, it was the bright and cheerful Wally West Kyle Rayner and guys like that got me into reading comic books.
Mm-hmm.
Superman from the 90s with a mullet.
Oh, geez. I got more into Superman from Death of Superman, but that was around the time we started rocking the mullet, if I'm correct, mm-hmm. right?
I think I got into reading Superman right after, either right before or right after Death.
Yeah, same here.
And it was more than likely a crossover with Flash or Green Arrow, or Green Lantern or something.
And that's when we got the long-haired, hooked hand Aquaman. I like that version of Aquaman.
Yeah, well, actually, I think that was brought in right after Zero Hour, wasn't it?
Yeah, a lot of those were around the same time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was when I was a little kid, but that was my era growing up, too, and I grew up with those comic books. I grew up with Bruce Timm. And if the way we've been discussing even Rebirth, a lot of those elements are back in those books.
Yes. So now we just got to get those what we're seeing in the books up onto the screen.
Yeah, and I was saying even on TV screen, we're getting a lot of elements from these books onto the small screen. So we got to work on the films, but we're working.
Yeah,
we're
this blog from The Nerdist pointed that out too. How on the TV series, there's like 8 TV series that's coming out right now, but each one has a totally different tone and feel depending on the characters that are in it.
Mm-hmm.
The Green Arrow. Or Arrow is a dark, gritty, darker realistic, try to put it as much realism as you can into a superhero, because that's who he is. That's the way his city works. On The Flash, you're bright and sunny and cheerful, and Barry is all about hope, because that's who The Flash is.
Right,
Legends,
you get a lot of
is
that
a time-traveling
from,
adventure show, because that's who they are.
Right, I'll say a lot of the cheerful, optimistic personality you get also from Supergirl as well, but that fits mm-hmm. their character.
If you go over to Gotham, Gotham is a gritty noir,
gritty, dark
noir
detective show
because it's about James Gordon, who happens to be a detective.
Mm-hmm. And Gotham, one of the darkest, grittiest cities in the universe.
Exactly.
And from what we're seeing with Powerless, they released a trailer, and it was you could definitely tell it was going to be a lot of comedy. And I haven't seen it yet, but
well, it's a half
just
hour sitcom. It better have a lot of comedy.
Yeah. But, yeah, if you can have all this realism, you can have the comedy aspect. DC knows how to launch out in different areas. And yeah. As you said, it's in the comic books, the TV, the cartoon shows. But we're working on the movies. We're trying to get there. And we've seen that with Suicide Squad. We've seen that they can do so. As I said, I think the biggest thing is Warner Bros. Just needs to back up a little bit and let the writers and directors take their time for making a good movie.
Yeah. Well, what it is it's just a matter of Warner Brothers needs to step back and let Geoff Johns do the magic that he does.
Mm-hmm. And John Byrne.
Yeah. So, but we got one more news story that we actually had on here, too, that you put up here. This is a little blurb, but any fans of Injustice out there?
Ed Boon. That man is just a Twitter. I want to say a Twitter troll. He's not really a troll. He just doesn't give you everything. And he gives you just a little bit of a taste, and you got to figure the rest out. And even they were saying they don't even really know if they decoded this right.
Well, no, because Warner Brothers Digital, I believe, where it is at the top of this, it says Warner Brothers a representative from Warner Brothers has confirmed what IGN thought.
It's
confirmed.
Took a while
this is when
said
it's coming.
Anything.
Huh?
It took them a while before they said anything. It was just one of those things that Ed Boon puts on his Twitter. Figure this out. We'll release in a little bit, but forever can get it. Good for you. Geoff Johns tweeted out a picture. It's a very simple picture. It just has the letters and numbers of.
Well, Geoff Johns didn't do it. Ed Boon did.
I'm sorry, Geoff Johns. Ed Boon. I got Geoff Johns on the plane right now. Ed Boon tweeted a picture out with something very simple. It just says I2-05-16-17. IGN speculated that this is probably the release date for the new Injustice game, which is going to be May 16th. 2017, and this was confirmed by Warner Brothers that this is going to be the release date.
And this
but,
is for both Xbox and PlayStation.
Yes, I don't see any mentions right now of PC or anything for.
Yeah,
the
this
Wii.
Just says PS4 and Xbox One. Hey, maybe right then I'll actually have an Xbox One.
Maybe I was gonna say we could play online, but I have PS4.
Yeah,
but yeah, the characters in here I haven't. Released all of them yet, but there was still those mentions of Spawn and Sub-Zero.
I'm still thinking, wait a minute.
Yeah.
How are you going to put Spawn into this book, into the story?
Bob McFarlane.
Unless they're just unlockable character. Unless it's an unlockable character who's not in the story at all?
No, he's. Oh, no, I doubt he's in the Sub-Zero wasn't a story. He was just in there after the DLC. It was like, fans wanted them for a while. We were focused on the story. Well, we got time to focus on the DLC and give them what they want. So here's some characters, guys. But for now, it's just going to be Wonder Woman, Gorilla Grodd, Harley Quinn, Deadshot, Supergirl, The Flash, Batman, Wonder Woman, Aquaman, and Superman.
Cool. Well, that'll be your starting characters, but after the DLC, right, you're going to get a whole lot more.
Oh, that's just the characters they revealed. That's not even, I think the roster for right now is about 20, 22 characters. Then we're going to get even more DLC after that, and then we might get up to about 8 characters even then. So
yeah. Plus, I think this is an improvement from the last one. The exclusive characters, like if you buy it from GameStop or if you buy it from GameStop. Walmart, mm-hmm. if you pre-order on Amazon, you get this character.
I'm really happy about this. I loved Injustice 1, gave me a lot of characters I could play with. This one seemed like we're going to get more. And I think since we had so many known characters in the last one, there were so many characters I was even saying to myself, oh, it would be nice if they put her in there. Maybe if you put him in there, we might get them now. Like, they're putting Blue Beetle in this one, too.
Cool. Which one?
Blue Beetle, Jamie.
Jaime Reyes? Okay.
So,
cool.
I was hoping we could get a boost of gold now.
Yeah.
You know who would be really cool? Miss Martian.
Yeah. Oh. Really, though, unless you are a Titans or a Young Justice fan, a lot of people don't even know who she is.
No, they don't. But if fans are the reason why Young Justice Season 3 is coming back, yeah. I'm pretty sure we're going to get at least one character from Young Justice for this game just because of the hype.
And the easiest, she'd be an easy one because you just give her basically all the controls that John Jones has.
Yeah.
Or if you do, the fun one would almost be Connor Kent, be Kon-El. Because then you get Superboy in there and give him some of his telekinetic powers also.
Yeah.
You give him a cross between Superman's powers and another, and maybe like a John Jones telekinesis.
That would be pretty fun because we got a Raven.
Doesn't he have limited force field also?
Yes, he does.
He had limited force field, telekinetic powers, and a couple other things.
That was a little weird. I didn't know about that.
Say what?
They definitely enhanced on that. They definitely enhanced on that in the New 52. I didn't know he had all those powers. They didn't really, not in the comics I've seen. He was more just, I am Superman as a teenager.
No. You got to
kind of gave more of that.
You need to read some of the original Connor stories with the original Superboy stories right after Zero Hour, because he had more of the telekinesis and stuff, because that's what made him so much different. He was a hybrid clone of Lex Luthor and Superman.
And Superman. I didn't read those, I didn't know about it until I got to New 52. I was like, oh,
Human DNA gave him a little bit different power set, which could be fun to see if Jonathan develops any of that, because technically he's a hybrid. He's just more of a natural hybrid.
Right. He's not a science project.
Yeah.
But, in the last one, we got a couple Teen Titans in there. We did get Nightwing. We got Cyborg. And I think they were putting him in there because he was joined justly around the time with the New 52. But he was still had his Teen Titans skin. And Raven. So that was 3 right there. So I'm expecting us to get some type of new Teen Titans or Young Justice characters in this game as well. Well, I guess Blue Beetle's going to be one of them. And Supergirl. You can count them in there. But we'll see where that goes. But that's Ed Boon's Twitter post. And I'm pretty sure he's going to post a couple more because fans are going to be begging him. Give us some type of information or hint to a new character. We do this every year. I'm one of them. I'll tweet out something saying maybe he'll read mine. He does. He'll take some of these fans' tweets you didn't even think he would even look at. But like I say, he's on Twitter a lot. Thank him for that. So we'll get some type of confirmation before this game comes out of a couple new characters.
You'll have to send him some tweets from at Superpowers DC.
Oh, that'd be awesome. If we could get something directed from him talking to us. Oh yeah.
Yeah. What it is from now on, when you're using Twitter, you need to just use our at Superpowers DC when you're tweeting at anybody.
Okay. I'll do that.
We need a stronger presence online anyway.
Yeah, and plus, I don't have that many followers on Twitter. DC's Superpower Podcast definitely has more than me on there. So I'll use that. Actually, I could tweet him now. I could tweet him every day. He's going to block me or get annoyed by me, but dang it, you're going to have to.
That's right. Get him to come on our show and talk about it.
So, man.
But that's all the news stories that we brought up. There is some TV news for the show's coming back in a couple weeks, but I think we're going to put a lot of that together and do a roundup right before the new shows come back, aren't we?
Yeah, because a lot of the stuff I found on the internet this week, it was kind of basically the same thing we've been discussing for the past couple months.
Yeah, a lot of it's like plot synopsis and stuff like that.
We got a trailer from Powerless, but the article was the same exact thing we discussed last week, so I can tell you what was in the trailer. They were in the office testing out some stuff for Wayne Tech. Seeing what you can give the citizens to protect them if there is a superhero battle. They had a little funny scene in there. that was about it. Was the 30-second trailer, so it wasn't too much. But once the shows come back out, guys, we will have a lot of more detail for you.
Oh yeah, I gotta look up something here because I think something I saw about Supergirl coming back. I think is pretty awesome. I just gotta wait till it pops up here. Yes, the first show back for on January 23rd for Supergirl is the episode Supergirl Lives. It's the Kevin Smith episode. So,
oh yeah,
this is the one that, remember, he said that he pretty much, when he saw the script and the name of the episode, he almost cried.
Wasn't it a callback to his Superman film?
The Superman movie that he wrote that he was fighting with the Warner Brothers so bad about was Superman Lives. So when the writers gave him Supergirl Lives, he just kind of almost broke down on it.
That's awesome.
So,
you know what? I would like for Kevin Smith to direct a movie from DC. They could get him. He could be our Green Arrow director if we needed a film.
Possibly, but if I remember right, he's not a fan of Warner Brothers when it comes to directing movies. Because wasn't Cop Out a Warner Brothers movie?
Was that the film that he had that whole rant about? Was that a Warner Brothers film?
They did Warner Brothers, remember, Superman Lives died because of Warner Brothers. And I don't remember if Cop Out was from Warner Brothers or not. Cop Out was the one that he wrote, was the one movie he did that he did not write.
And he did not like that film.
He did the movie, he got it done, he got his money, but it for him it was an experiment to see, because he had never done a movie that he wasn't the writer on.
Right.
So it was to see what he could do. And he said, you know what? He didn't like it. There was too much stuff that he didn't have control over.
Yeah.
So
let's see. Who was the Warner Brothers?
Yep. See? So I don't know. He would need a lot. He would have to write an interesting contract.
Yeah. See, just once again, that right there is what's worrying me about Warner Bros. But I'm going to stay a little optimistic about what's going on.
The problem is, no matter what, DC is stuck with Warner Brothers putting out the movies. Because they're owned by Warner Brothers.
Hey, look, this is me being a fan of these characters, and I would love to see these movies more than anybody. But if we didn't get a Batman or Flash film until 2023, I would be perfectly fine with that, because I just want to see a decent film done. Please do not rush these films, guys.
Yeah.
Warner Brothers, please, for our fans' sake, do not rush these things.
So, but that's most of our news for this week. Let's get into a little bit of our reviews.
Oh,
now,
we got some good stuff this week. It's not that big of a list, but these are some great stories.
A lot of the other issues that we're not covering this week right now had a lot of exposition in them. A lot of getting into the heads of the characters. Figure out where they're thinking and what they're thinking about and how it's working. Detective, which we're not really covering, had a lot of stuff on Batman. It was the end of the Victim Syndicate story. It had a lot of Batman trying to figure out or accepting the fact that there's a lot of collateral damage over what's going on with what he does in superheroing and vigilante. We had Batman Beyond. The Flash was an interesting one because it was basically Wally West giving Barry and Iris a date night. So he's basically patrolling the city as Kid Flash so that nothing interrupts Barry Allen and Iris West, not knowing that Barry's the Flash. So he's wondering the whole time, where's the Flash? Why is he not out here helping me?
That's one of the benefits of having a sidekick.
All-Star Batman ended their first story arc, which was kind of an interesting way of going.
I haven't gotten to that one yet.
Ah, okay. That's why it's not on your list.
Yeah, and action. They did it really good with this, the trial of Lex Luthor.
Yes. And that's another one, though, that had a lot of exposition and talking about and Superman getting in his head of, no, these guys have credible evidence that Luthor will be a tyrant and will try to destroy the galaxy in the future. So they want to kill him now because of that. So it's a lot of Batman or Superman deciding, I still have to protect this guy because he has not done anything wrong yet.
You can't punish
someone for what they will do or what they may do in the future.
Right, and that's the one thing we got to see a lot of change of heart from Superman when we first started reading the Rebirth. And there, he did have that mindset. He's like, Lex Luthor's just going to be a bad guy, period. I take that S off your chest. But after working with him for a little while now, as you said, he has to protect him because he hasn't done anything bad yet. And honestly, he also, I think, he seems like they're becoming more like a... They're building some type of friendship or some type of relationship that's not just them being arch enemies.
I don't think it's a friendship as much as just he's accepting that Luthor's there.
Yeah.
And this year,
some type of partnership.
Even now, when he was telling Luthor to take the S off his chest, it wasn't because of something Luthor's done. He just says, I know the man you are. You're not worthy of that.
That S. Yeah.
So, but he still wouldn't have punished him for anything because there's no proof of that. That's why throughout the years. Why Luthor usually is not in jail because no one can prove what he's actually done.
Right, right.
Superman never could get proof of any of this, so he couldn't actually move on it.
It was funny. This is a counterpart to us, but I noticed a similarity between what both companies are doing. I just had to smirk at this. My mom brought this to my attention. I took her comic book shop recently, and there was a comic book of New Iron Man.
Yeah?
And he has a cape, and he's wearing green and silver armor. My
Wait, is that the new female Iron Man?
No, there's a new female Iron Man. That's Ironheart. But this is the new Iron Man is actually Doctor Doom. Now I'm thinking to myself, boy, that sounds a lot like what they're doing with Superman Lex Luthor right now.
Yeah?
Is one of the most evil characters in their franchise, is becoming one of the best well-known superheroes of their other franchise. And it's like, wait a minute. I think they're doing that with Lex Luthor, too. I just thought that was kind of funny. But, and yeah, there's a lot of good stuff happening in Action Comics. We got to see Doomsday back in here. But as we said, there's not too much going on with the progression of the Rebirth storyline. This is more so just the singles for the superhero. And same thing for Teen Titans this week. We got a mention of, we got to see Ra's al Ghul come back.
Yeah.
With Damian Wayne. I don't really know all what he has planned for him, but Damian's always got a master plan, so.
Exactly.
We'll see what happens. He's got too much of his father in him.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting seeing at the end of Titans when seeing Damian finally deciding, you know what, the only way that I'm going to protect the Titans now from the Demon's Fist is if I actually capitulate and rejoin Ra's al Ghul.
Right.
So he says, fine, if you leave the Teen Titans alone, I'll work with you from now until forever.
And that sound a little familiar from something we've seen a couple seasons ago on Arrow?
Oh, yeah.
You catch that? And I was like, I might know how this is going to end for you, Rouse.
let's get into the books we're actually reviewing.
Let's get into the actual Rebirth story.
Why don't we start off with Hal Jordan?
Okay.
We'll build our way up to Titans.
Okay. Yeah, because that's the one that gave us the big tease.
Oh, yeah. I'll let you take the lead on these, and then I'll just interrupt you as I do. We usually do this.
Yeah. I thought this was really cool what they showed between the characteristics of Larfleeze and Brainiac in here. This was spot on perfect.
Larfleeze is always fun. It's just a fun character.
You know, I was reading this book and I was thinking to myself, I think Larfleeze is becoming one of my favorite Lanterns. Not Green Lantern, but just the Lantern period. I liked him, but I think he might be bumped up to my top five now.
Well, the funny thing is, he's not evil. He's not good. He's not. Larfleeze.
Yeah.
he's all about mine.
Yes. Every time I hear him say mine, I just crack up because that's his oath over and over again, saying mine. Oh, Larfleeze.
Well, that's like on the second page here. You got the second page here. He's talking about how such a broken, shiny thing.
Yeah.
He doesn't care what any of this stuff is. As long as it's shiny and pretty, it's his.
He wants it. He wants to collect it. And
he wants everything.
Since you say that, the shiny metal thing is Brainiac. And he's messing with him, trying to get this thing to turn on. And he uses his ring to turn him on. And when he wakes up, he tells him he's Brainiac and he's the collector of these organic life forms. And then it piqued his interest. Collector, show me your collection. I got to see this thing.
Because now your collection is mine.
Mm-hmm. And now Brainiac is working for Larfleeze. Now, guys, this is not Brainiac version 2.0 that you probably think you would be getting. This is a broken version of Brainiac. So Larfleeze is using the power of the Orange Lantern to fix and
reprogram Brainiac, basically.
Right. But you will get in here, Brainiac still is Brainiac. Once he gets out of his control, Larfleeze may be in some trouble of his own. He says, once I override your Orange Lantern light energy, you use to control me, I will collect you. So we're going to see what happens between them. Larfleeze needs to be very, very careful. Sometimes he's so focused on him collecting things and focused on himself, he doesn't really pay attention to the weaknesses, which is, as we'll get to see in here, him wanting to collect everything. So we get back here, and the Green Lanterns are now still, they figure out they're trapped in a bubble, and Jon Stewart is definitely going to be the leader and commander of this team. He knows this is Larfleeze, and as soon as he figures out it's him, he's smiling and grinning like, oh, I already got this guy's plan to take him out. He's not going to last long.
Once you figure out who it is, Larfleeze is easy to beat. Because he's very, very predictable.
Very. So him and Guy, they bump gloves and tells the Yellow Lanterns they're going to need, or the Sinestro Corps, they're going to need their help. And they probably all have this guy in the bag. But we go back now to the Guardians and Hal Jordan with Kyle. Kyle helps.
Once again, Kyle freaking Rayner's back. Yeah.
Yeah, and when I turned both these pages, I was so happy we finally got to see all four original Green Lanterns back together.
Yeah.
In one book. They're not really together, but they are in the same book. They're paired up, doubled. Kyle.
Four women. What's the other one? Oh, no. Yeah. No. I see. I know what you're talking about. For some reason, Alan Scott jumped into my head, too.
Oh, yeah. He popped in my head, too, but then I was thinking, well, we do have Simon. And then now this we got Simon with Jessica.
Yeah, the four modern era. The four modern era Earth Lanterns.
Right. And they took over that for years, just them. But they talked to Guardians and says, it turns out Kyle did get Hal out of this, his Green Lantern heaven, should I call it?
It was the Emerald something or other. I don't remember off the top of my head.
I'm trying to find it. There's a lot of dialogue in this book, so I
Emerald Space, there it is.
Exactly.
It was called the Emerald Space.
And this was all the dead Green Lanterns, like Abin Sur and everyone else that has passed away that were the major Green Lanterns that worked around with Hal, John, Guy, Kyle. And they're telling him that's not possible that he could have seen all of them. Whatever it was he was thinking in his mind wasn't real. He said, well, it was real to me. And they gave him a new perspective of what he has to do and where he might go after he actually dies. But right now was not his time. And that's the only reason Kyle was able to bring him out, because they told him it's not his time yet. You need to go back out into the world and help everybody. And then they're going to now fly back and try and find the rest of the Green Lanterns. But as little do they know, they're stuck with Larfreeze and Brainiac. Now we cut back to the little prison they're in, and you have the Green Lantern fighting the Orange Lanterns now. And
like, the Yellow Lanterns. War.
What'd I say?
The Orange Lanterns? No, it's the Green Lanterns and the Yellow
Orange
Lanterns,
and Yellow
tearing the planet apart.
And these pages, they look awesome. I mean, they could have just sold this on just it being a war between both Yellow and
This
Yellow
is all-out war. Lantern.
Yeah, and they're doing... Now, here's the thing that caught my attention. They're really going at it with each other, but they're not tearing up the city, not taking each other through buildings, they're not having any other people get injured, but they are putting on one heck of a light show. Literally.
And it's enough, it's enough that it's scaring the rest of the citizens. Remember, we got the planet inside there, too, with all of the citizens of the planet. And because of that,
some of them are afraid,
they're turbocharging the Yellow Lanterns. The fear of these people. These people are scared to death right now.
Yeah, and you get a little mention from, oh man, where's the guy's wife? His mother. Where is it?
Tomar 2.
Thank you.
Because Tomar Reed was his dad, remember?
Yep. And that's why he's talking to his mother saying, she's telling him, see, whenever the Green Lanterns protect stuff, but they also cause damage and they're terrifying everybody in the city. You're just like your father, really, being the same choices he made. And now we go back to Sector Zero, where the Guardians and the new White Lantern, Kyle, with Green Lantern, Hal Jordan, land to the planet. And they're so happy to be back there. They're calling for everybody's name. Hal says he's going to hug the tree. The tree says, I'm familiar with this hug that you're talking about. But they're just showing affection, showing how happy they are to be back. Then we cut back and we see them on the other Green Lanterns, find the Yellow Lanterns. And Larfreeze has seen this light show as well inside the tube. And he's like, I don't want them to destroy each other. So he shakes it up a little bit, tells them to stop.
Yeah, I love the quote here from him. Stop, Yellows, don't ruin my greenies. He's all excited because he's got the greens and the yellows both in the same box.
And this is where you get Brainiac telling what would happen to prevent them from actually killing each other. Well, we'll get to see where that goes. I'll just get to that because not too much on the other page dealing with Hal. He was saying they're irreplaceable. Once you destroy them, they're not going to exist no more. And that's when Larfreeze has to make the decision. Does he want to keep them inside that little tube, or should he let them out so they don't get destroyed and kill each other? Then he won't have anything to collect. So, being Larfreeze, he cracks it open. And that's when we get to see all of the Yellow Lanterns and the Green Lanterns say, good plan we had there. It worked perfectly. We just wanted to make it look like we were fighting so you would let us out. Once again, Larfreeze is very predictable. And now that they're out, they figured out where... the Yellow and the rest of the Green Lanterns are Hal and the Guardians, and it seemed like Hal's going to join him as well. And just as John Stewart said at the very beginning of the book, Lar frickin' Freeze. That was Hal's last words of the book.
Yeah. Well, you got to remember, they're on MOGO, the Green Lantern planet, looking for the Lantern Corps. They can't find him. Everything's – but as soon as Larfreeze breaks that jar, all of a sudden – it reestablishes communication, and you know where everybody's at. That's when they're like, oh, they're on Okara. Wait a minute. Yeah. Okara, that's Larfleece.
And next one is going to be called Orange Crush.
Which basically means they're going to crush the Orange Lantern.
Orange Lantern.
See, and that's the thing. Orange Lantern. It's not Orange Lanterns. Because Lara Priest is so greedy.
No. No one else can have it. It's all his.
Mm-hmm. That's his downfall. That's really his downfall.
And by default, that means there can be no other Orange Lanterns because they would want everything for themselves, too.
Exactly.
Avarice and greed. But that brings us on to... Now, arguably, I think Titans was the best book of last week.
See, me, Suicide Squad was the... Now, I love the ending and the cliffhanger we got. That touched my little fanboy heart.
Yeah.
But Justice League and Suicide Squad, to me, just a better read.
So which one do you want to do next?
Honestly, we can wait for Titans last just because of that cliffhanger.
Oh, yeah.
But we can go to Justice League.
We had a couple of cliffhangers this past week.
We did. But that's the reason why the Titans I like so much for the ending, it went back to Rebirth.
Yeah, it's classic.
Yeah, well, it hit back to what started all this off for this Rebirth.
Uh-huh. So go ahead and get into Justice League here. Justice League versus Suicide Squad number 2.
Starts off with the words of Suicide Squad from Amanda Waller. You will do as I say. You still get this little mini war going on between Justice League and the Suicide Squad. And Amanda Waller's telling them, look, if you do not defeat the Justice League, we will blow your heads up.
Or at least escape. If you get caught, you will die.
Yeah. And says you have 5 minutes. That's not a lot of time to take down Justice League. But you get Killer Frost and Cyborg going at it. And you get Aquaman and Killer Croc, Batman, Deadshot. And now we get into a little bit of some little harsh words from Batman Deadshot.
Yeah.
Talking about how you're dangerous, you're just a killer lot, and you'll never be more than a killer. And it's like, Batman, you always get in my business. You can never just mind your own. Just leave us alone. We're doing something good for once. And he's telling him, no, you're not. You're still killing people for the sake of saving somebody else. It doesn't work that way. If you want to save people, save everyone. Save at least everybody that you can.
Yeah. Well, the interesting thing is this is a little bit weird for Batman since he's actually working with a killer over in Detective. He's working with Clayface, who is a killer or a murderer.
Yeah, but he's given up his ways, and he started to listen to Batman.
Lawton's doing this because he's being forced to. And really,
right, and he does...
what it is with Deadshot, he has always been this way that he's not – I mean, he's a cold-blooded killer. But he's not killing people just for fun and just as he was a mercenary. That was his job. He was an assassin. So people paid him. He did a job and he came back.
And also his daughter was his main key. Keep her.
Exactly. He had his own version of morality.
He did. And that's how I think I can probably connect out of all the Suicide Squad members. He's one of the ones I connect with the most. Because it's like, what if you had to do that? Wouldn't you want to help your family in any way?
Mm-hmm.
And plus the past he's had with the whole gun thing, too, digs deeper into his past. Not going to get into that, though.
It's like, he's not a thief. He's not just a murderer. He actually, he never killed anybody just because, hey, I just want to kill this guy.
Right. He's not the Joker. He's not Harley.
No.
But now remember, guys, Rick Flag is not there. Amanda Waller sent the Suicide Squad to this island by themselves with no leader. Mm-hmm. So right now the leader is Deadshot. He's going to have to take over that role. And he says Suicide Squad split up. And El Diablo thinks he means you want us to run away from a fight. He said, no, we need to split up to Justice League because there's no way of us beating them all together. So maybe a one-on-one might be a little bit better. And now we get back to the Swiss Alps with, we don't know even the name of this team yet, but this is Maxwell Lord's team right now. He's talking to all of them and saying how he wants them to get the revenge on Amanda Waller for the wrongs she's done. And also how he's not using any telekinesis on these guys to take over their mind to make them work for them. But just as he says that, his nose starts to bleed. So I don't know if he's actually using his powers or that's just what happens once in a while. His nose bleeds.
Now, tell me this is not Lobo. This is perfect. Mm-hmm. He's written. Did you hear the voice from Justice League and from that gravelly voice with the accent and just the slurry? And you hear Lobo in your head when you're reading this.
That's the same way I feel for Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill's Joker. That's their character now. Every time I read the book, I hear the voice in my head.
Well, for me personally, that's how I know if you got the character right. If what they're saying here fits with the voice of what you heard, what I heard when I was younger.
Mm-hmm. They did a great job with that casting. And that was basically it for right now. They're saying that they're going to get their revenge on Amanda Waller. And the reason why they say they can trust them because they all hate Amanda Waller the same. They want revenge. And that's what's going to push and motivate them. Which is scary, actually. That doesn't mean anything good for the team right now because that the Suicide Squad is going to have to protect her. And we don't know what the Justice League are going to do in a situation like that. But now we get Superman and June Moon Enchantress fighting each other. And we all know Superman's weakness is magic. And I thought this was actually kind of funny. Once he punches, Superman tries to help June. He says, I know who you are. I know what you're going through. I know there's a witch that's taking over. Just as he's getting to June, Enchantress comes back and punches the heck out of Superman. And I just want to say something, guys. In the in the Flashpoint universe, Superman killed Enchantress. So I think we're going to see a little bit of a payback from what happened to him here. She's beating him up right now. Now we get Killer Frost and Cyborg. He's trying to talk her down, say he knows it wasn't her fault she became this way. She was a good person. He can help her get back to that. But she says, what makes you think I even want that anymore? I don't want to go back to my normal life. I am now Killer Frost. She touches him and says everything. He is half metal, but he also has his human side to him, and that's enough to give her power. His readings, he kind of told her that he can tell that she's losing the power. Him by getting close to her also got her to get close to him by him having too much of a good heart. And on the next page you get This Is BS, and this is El Diablo talking to the two Green Lanterns, saying he knows that these aren't real Green Lanterns. Where's the other one? He's the one he really wants to fight. Why would you send these rookies in a battle to fight us? He feels disrespected. But once again, it's really easy to take down somebody like El Diablo if you're a Green Lantern, period. All you gotta do is just cut his air off. And he won't have any way of making his flames, and that's exactly what they do. Then you get Captain Boomerang and the Flash going at it, of course. And he says, you know something, Flash? You run around in those red pajamas, but the one thing that I always know about you that, that's your weakness, the people that you love or anybody else around you that you want to protect. So he throws the boomerangs at the crowd of people. First time I ever heard Flash curse like this, actually. He grabs the boomerangs back, and he tells Boomerang, You're not going to change, and how does a rogue feel about you double-crossing them like this? Boomerang says, we got the open relationship. They're okay with long as I always come back to them. We all have our other agendas we must do. But Flash says, I also have your number. You're nothing without your toys. He snaps his boomerangs in half, but in the process, you get Boomerang snitching on Amanda Waller, saying, I'll tell you anything you want to know, blah, blah, blah. Run. And this was a really cool fight to me right here. This is Aquaman and Killer Croc going back at it.
That's an interesting way to get away from Aquaman, too.
Yeah. I guess they've met each other before, but Aquaman has no recollection of that even happening. But he says, hey, this is big green Killer Croc, big green Croc Man thing swimming away. Let me call a white shark to help me. And as that happens, Killer Croc says, oh, this should be fun. My jaws have never torn apart a great white before. He rips this great white shark apart, and it's just bloody water now. Aquaman, of course, since he's communicating with them, he feels bad now. His one of his friends are dead.
That and there's so much blood
in the sea
and stuff in the water that he can't see.
Right. So Killer Croc does attack him by surprise. But the problem with Killer Croc that he didn't know of Aquaman, he has rock hard skin.
Yeah. He Killer Croc comes in and tries to bite Aquaman. Not a good idea.
Yeah. It's not. So he bites right into Aquaman's tricep, and he breaks his teeth. He's like, holy crap, your skin's hard as a rock. He says, so are my fists, and punches Killer Croc out of the water. Now you get back to where we started in the beginning. You get Batman and Deadshot going at it. And this is where they get into even a bigger dialogue, saying, you always take the easy way out, Deadshot. That's why your daughter, you killed that man in front of your own daughter. He's like, well, I didn't have a choice. I had to save her. What did you want me to do? He says, you showed her nothing but a hired gun. You always have other ways of saving somebody and killing them. This is where I think Batman's just being a little too hard on Floyd. I mean, it was his daughter. What? And he's been a trained killer, and he did not kill anybody for that whole mission, if I remember, except for when his daughter came into play. And it's like, in that case, what did you expect? And then that's when he starts shooting at Batman. And he says, Batman, you're kind of... I guess he said this wasn't a good idea. You didn't think this through long good enough. You made a mistake. You just have that Kevlar bulletproof on you. After a while, that vest is going to go bad if I keep shooting the same area, and you'll start feeling the pain. Batman tells him, this is worth it, as long as I can make sure that I can stop you from ever endangering your daughter again. Ouch. that hurt. That mm-hmm. punch and what he said. So he knocks Deadshot out. Last one you got here that we haven't seen yet was Harley Quinn and Wonder Woman. She's going through the city on a motorcycle she probably stole. And just running rapid through the city, and you see Wonder Woman flying right after her, trying to save the civilians because Harley is insane. You cannot predict what she's going to do. And I did not read this book, but I do remember they had a little team up when Wonder Woman had came to Harley Quinn's comic book, and she says, "I thought we were new BFFs. Why are you attacking me?" She said, "I'm not ever going to be friends with a psychopathic criminal that puts people in danger." And this, I thought, was kind of funny, because if you look at the popularity of comic books right now, for a while this was happening. She said, "Are you mad because I'm in the new trendy and not you?" Saying, and if you look at this, you have Superman that's doing really well, Batman doing really well, and Harley Quinn probably was doing a little bit better than Wonder Woman sometimes.
Well, like, here's the other half of that. You're mad about the Trinity, but or is it really about how your mama made you from mud? Is that what you're mad about?
And then that's when she goes on and tells her, "The gods gave me life, and I'm thankful for every day they have." And then that's when Harley's like, basically, shut up. Here's a bomb. So she throws a bomb in midair, and Wonder Woman catches it, but of course it's a dud.
Yeah, it's a confetti bomb.
Yeah. But she says, "Made you look, Wonder Woman." She drives the motorcycle right into Wonder Woman. Now, with Wonder Woman's skin, that probably wasn't a good idea, Harley. So she basically knocks herself out in that explosion. And Wonder Woman's carrying Harley right out of flames. Now you're back on the beach, where you see Killer Croc and Killer Frost running away, trying to get away. Like, "We're not going to get our heads blown off." And she's like, "Run fast as you can." He's like, "Sorry. Just got basically punched by Aquaman. I'm a little slow right now." But everybody gets caught except for Enchantress and Killer Frost. And this is when Amanda Waller tells her, "You better do something or you guys are dead." And Enchantress comes down punching Superman from the sky right into the ground, saying, "You will die by the hands of me, Man of Steel." That's where Killer Frost gets her opportunity by seeing Superman. And Amanda Waller tells her, "Absorb his life force. He's the most powerful member on their team."
He's powered by the sun. Absorb that.
Right. And once she does that, the Suicide Squad have won that battle.
Yeah, she basically freezes everybody.
Throws everybody, including the rest of the Suicide Squad. Now we get Black Panel. Then we get Batman's eyes blinking and waking up. And he's basically in a cybernetic straitjacket. Amanda Waller tells him what might be the most dangerous part of your body, Batman, is your mind. But you can't do anything like that if your body is constricted and you won't be able to move.
Yeah.
But I also found ways of stopping your other friends from coming back and beating us. Each one of them had their own personal cell to block their power somehow. Of course,
she's designed a holding cell for each and every one of the Justice League.
Of course, Batman's in his metal straitjacket. Superman's in a red solar powered room. Both Green Lanterns cannot see. They have a mask on them. Now that stops them from doing anything with their ring because they don't know what kind of constructs they're making or what they can hit. Where are they hitting? They might hurt somebody. So it's better they just not use their ring at all. And then you have Flash. Don't really know what he's trapped in.
It looks like some kind of a stasis bubble or something. So he can't touch the ground. As long as you can't touch the ground, he can't run.
Run. Right. And he can't phase through that either. Wonder Woman is probably the most simplest thing to keep her trapped up. Wrap her up with her own lasso. Simple and efficient. And then they kind of cut Cyborg off. I can't really tell here, but it looks like he's got some type of tubes feeding into his body that's probably giving a virus or draining his power.
Yeah.
But Amanda Waller tells her, "You're not the only one that has a contingency plan for everything, Batman. The Justice League, welcome to the Suicide Squad." And next we get Suicide Squad issue number 3.
So that was actually a pretty good book. I like where this is going so far. It's going to be interesting to see what happens from here.
Yeah. Like I said, that was my favorite book of the week. This is probably going to be my favorite book for the next couple of weeks, honestly. I cannot go wrong with Suicide Squad. That's one of my biggest favorite teams in DC Comics, and they're fighting the Justice League, the top team of DC Comics.
Yeah.
And we're getting some other team coming in, too, with Maxwell Lord. So this is just too much going on in this book, man. Too much.
Well, that brings us to the last book we're reviewing this week, which is Titans number 6. And this one was my favorite book of the week. And we basically start off, remember, to beat Kazam, or Abracadabra, not Kazam.
We've been talking about Kazam lately, though.
Yeah. Well, you guys were. I think that's what got in my head. You guys were talking Kazam in the other room. But we get a recap of the of the Titans finishing off Abracadabra now that Wally joined with the Speed Force again. He ran himself into oblivion, which he's done in a couple times in the past. The problem is, usually, Linda leads him back because she is his lightning rod. Barry has Iris, Wally has Linda. The problem is, this Linda doesn't know Wally, doesn't love him right now. There is no lightning rod there.
Right. The connection is gone right now.
Which Abracadabra knows, and that's the best thing about this plan of his, was he finally killed off the Flash because there's no lightning rod to bring him back. So you get the Titans taking out Abracadabra, finally.
Well, Linda.
Well, yeah, Linda takes him out.
Yeah. I mean, that was a nice little panel they had there. You see his lips just flying everywhere.
Oh,
she
yeah.
gave him one heck of a punch.
Well, the thing is, Abracadabra has no real powers. Remember, his magic, quote-unquote,
isn't even magic.
Is all tech-based from future tech. It looks like magic because we don't know what tech he's using.
Right. In the future, that's probably as simple as showing somebody an iPhone.
Exactly. Go back to the late 1800s, whip out your cell phone and turn it on. You'll be burned at the stake for being a witch. Yes.
Oh, same.
So we get the Titans fighting against Abracadabra. Then you get we flip over to somewhere in the Speed Force. You get Wally and Linda sitting on the back porch of their house, just having a lazy day, loving things. She loves him. He loves her. And the whole time he's realizing, wait a minute, something still isn't right here.
It was one of those dreams where it's just like, it's too good to be true. Wally even knows something's not right here. But he doesn't care. He doesn't want to go anywhere. This is the life he's always wanted, just him and Linda being happy, loving each other.
Yeah, but the cool thing is in this one, the Linda Park here knows that this isn't real. She's telling him, hey, wait, this isn't right. You got to go back and so that we can have this in reality.
Mm-hmm. There is hope for him and her. We've
exactly.
seen some of that in the beginning. She's been caring about. She knew something was there, but there was no memories. But as it kept going by with Abracadabra, you can see even as she punches him, she asks him, where's Wally? Bring him back.
Yeah. Well, and then in this, you get Wally even knows that this isn't real, but this is what he wants.
Yeah.
And he makes the same point we made a couple minutes ago, that you're forgetting one fact, he says. Even if I could bring myself to want to leave this place, I can't get back. Which we know is because the Linda Park of this world doesn't love him. There's no lightning rod there. There's nothing to guide him home. Nothing for him to latch onto. Then we're back to the fight of Abracadabra and the Titans. They're fighting back and forth, talking about... And this is Wally still talking about how he's been holding on to all, and Linda's telling him that basically what's holding you back in the real world is your memories of what happened before.
Mm-hmm.
These Titans now and me in this world are not the same as what you remember. We are not all the same people. Then you get back into the fight here. We get to the part we were talking about earlier when we were talking about Titans where Omen starts figuring out, hey, wait. Let me get into his head, figure out how we can actually beat this guy.
He is the only one that can do this.
Exactly. And go on with the rest, with some more of this real quick.
Well, she went to his head, and she's actually terrified of some of the things she sees in his head. She says, you're cold, you're joyless, you're a laboratory experiment, it's like clockwork.
There's those clock references.
Yep. And then that's when he uses whatever type of technology this is, to blast Titans with some fire, and this is when we go back now into Wally's world. Him and Linda are walking off the porch. It seems like he's walking more toward the path to get back home as well. There's one bond that's still real with you. That love is unbreakable. Once is an anchor, once is a lightning rod. And he's like, I know. She says, say it, my friends, and says, say it louder now. The Titans are my friends. Well, that's all he really needs then to get back to the real world. They love you? Yeah. Well, he doesn't want to say goodbye to Linda, even though he knows that's what he can go back to. Linda is still his main love that he doesn't want to let go. And she says, still, with all that, you have to go back no matter how far, you will have to find them. And then he's remembering everything they had, all the memories that helped them remember who he was. They just by touching him from the rebirth, and they remember all the good things they had with him. And now that's when you get to see his suit is now becoming, his regular clothes are now becoming a suit again, the Flash suit. He says, I love you, Linda. And she says, I know. Because remember, the Speed Force gave Wally the suit.
Yeah. And then you get one of the most common lines in all Flash comic books, depending on what name you give him.
Right.
Now, run, Wally. Run.
How many times have we heard that?
How many times have we heard, run, Barry, run?
Oh, jeez. So many in the past couple of years, by the way. And then you just see him running from the Speed Force right out of there, dead on Smack's cadaver in his chin. He says, Wes, that's impossible. You've defeated one of my greatest tricks. He says, no, my friends did.
And it's his friend's love for him is what brought him back. Those were the best friends he's ever had.
But because he just came out of the Speed Force, punched him real quick. If I got this correct, he threw a cadaver in the Speed Force, didn't he? Without his
Basically,
wand.
He threw him back through time.
Okay, that's where it was. I didn't know exactly
where it was.
He
punched him into the future. That's how hard he hit this guy.
Jeez, if you threaten somebody, I'm going to punch you so hard, I'm going to punch you in the future.
Exactly.
Well,
is that something like saying, I'm going to hit you so hard your grandchildren feel it?
Yeah, about the same thing that is the future, right?
Yeah.
Well, after they see him come back and he punches him into the future, they all just run up to Wally and give him the biggest hug ever. And get some ads. There we go. Now he says, I found my way home and you beat Kadabra. And like Donna said, we'll always have your back, always. And now it's like, let's go back home and let's relax and enjoy each other's company. But before he can do that, he must go over to Linda Park and talk to her. He says, what is it right here? He asks her if she's okay. And she says, yeah, but there's something I got to tell you. And he's like, well, you got to get to know me first. And she's like, well, that sounds great. But then she gets into the pointing fingers on his chest and yelling at him, saying, this is insane. I better never go through this again. I never had anything like this in my life until you walked in here, and just walks off and just storms away like, if I see you again, don't ever bring all this drama into my life. And that's when everybody tells him it's been a little bumpy ride, huh, for you. And it's like, yeah, I swear, but Kadabra was insane and he didn't get what he wanted, so we're okay with that.
Well, the thing is, if you know...
if you pay attention to this one right here.
Yeah, before we get to that, though, if you remember, if anybody who read Flash back in the 90s and stuff, before he was married with he and Linda, they were not always... It was not always a great relationship.
A cheerful
it was
relationship,
bumpy.
Yeah.
They had ups and downs and back and forth and knockdown, drag-out fights. But that was the way... That's what brought them together. So it looks like they're starting all over again.
Literally. And we get to see all the fake Titans that were puppets go back into their puppet formation.
Mm-hmm.
This is where
Omen...
The cliffhanger was.
Yeah, Omen says that really everything she found in his head, there's only one thing that stuck out. There was one word, Manhattan.
That brought a big smile to my face. Still is.
Yeah.
And now we get Deathstroke actually looking at the Titans on a monitor. And if I'm correct, he's not just looking at the Teen Titans. He's also looking at Damian Wayne's Titans, too. At least Damian Wayne's in the picture along with Batman.
Well, he's got a picture of Batman, a picture of Damian. He's watching everybody, looks like.
This actually reminds me of his Injustice thing on the video game. After he beat you up, he would look at his computer screen and throw his knife in the air and catch her. Just see, who else can I target?
Yeah, so he freezes the picture of the Titans, zooms in on Wally, looks at it from a couple angles and says, okay, who are you?
Because everybody remembers Wally. Remember, the only ones that really remember him was the Titans, and he had to work hard before they could remember him.
Exactly.
Batman. Wait, actually, no, Batman doesn't remember him. It was just the Titans.
He didn't yet. I think Batman does now, because remember, he went to the cave.
Okay, I couldn't remember if
that was
place
part of Rebirth.
Before or after. Okay. And Abracadabra.
Well, the cool thing also is
doesn't
the next...
remember him. She knows him now.
The name of the next... The name of the next Titans book.
Titans Tower.
Hmm.
So, I wonder now if the Teen Titans and the Titans might share the same building because of this, since he is looking at Damian Wayne.
Well, Titans... Well, if I remember right, wasn't there two Titans bases? One in New York and one in San Francisco?
Yeah, I was going to say one in California.
Titans Tower, I believe, was the office building, wasn't it? Or is that the big T building?
That's the big T building.
Because I think in New York, wasn't it an office building was their headquarters? I'd have to go back and look.
I gotta look back too. I just remember the Big T and the one in San Diego.
What was San Diego?
San Francisco.
Yeah, San Francisco was the Big T out on the island.
I thought there was another T. Now I gotta look at this. Cause I thought there was a T also, unless that was the one. But I just don't remember them always being a Big T, period.
I don't know.
Yeah, it still looked like a Big T.
Huh.
Mm.
Well, either way, we'll see it next week.
Yeah, we'll figure it out next week. I'm trying to remember in my memory of reading the comic books, I still just remember them being in like the same building for the main team. It was always just that Big T located somewhere even in like a forest and a river. That might have been the difference. The one in San Diego might have been the one on the little island, but then the main one might have been where they were in the forest. I don't really remember, but we'll figure out next week what the new Teen Titan Tower will be, or the Titan
Tower.
That's right.
And I guess that leaves only one thing left to do. And that means one thing, we're time to take our weekly trip to the comic shop. And remember, our comic shop pull list is always brought to you by the Shazbots. That was their song, Comic Shop. Check them out on iTunes and Facebook and anywhere else music is found. Let them know that DC Superpower sent you. Now, this is the comic shop pull list for, where am I at? January 11th, 2017. And we have 16 books on the list this week.
That is a lot. And like I said, yeah. I have one extra one also on my list, Scooby-Doo. So,
well, so do I. One thing I want to give an honorable mention, because it's not a Rebirth title this week, is we get this week is week one of Justice League Power Rangers, number one.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of stuff going on.
I'm hoping I can get to the comic store before that sells out. If not, I always have other options, but I want to read that as soon as it comes out.
So, we get to start off the list this week, though, with Action Comics number 971. We get Men of Steel Part 5. The deadly intergalactic remnants loom over Superman as he fights to protect Lex Luthor, but can the Man of Steel prove his greatest adversary deserves a fair trial? Or will Superman be forced to become judge, jury, and executioner? Art is done by Art Thibbitt and Steven Segovia, and is written by Dan Jurgens.
Sweet. But like I said, that's one of the best stories out right now, I think, is Action, period.
DC. Well, I'm liking Superman better than Action, but both books are doing fantastic.
I am too, but and same for Batman. I'm liking Batman better than Detective, but both are doing really well. And also, All-Star Batman is another good one that I like.
Yeah.
And that's the one that's next on our list.
This is actually starting a brand new story in All-Star. I thought All-Star was going to be a limited series.
That's why I thought so too. When I read this, I'm like, oh crap, wait a minute, they're still going. this is All-Star Batman number 6, Cold to the Core. See if you guys can figure out who he's fighting just from that little thing. Batman travels to Alaska to confront Mr. Freeze as he attempts to extract the world's oldest ice core and bring humanity to a new ice age. Powerhouse artist Jock joins Scott Snyder to bring you another one of the Dark Knight's rogues like you've never seen him before. Art done by Jock, cover done by Jock, and written by Scott Snyder. Now, this is a character from DC that they definitely need to bring back into what he was. If you guys read anything with Mr. Freeze and the New 52, that was not Mr. Freeze. I don't know what that was. I don't know. but if they're bringing him back for All-Star Batman, I'm pretty sure they're going back to his roots. So I'm definitely expecting to see our old Mr. Freeze come back to the way we were used to seeing him.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the one thing All-Star Batman's done is it's brought back a lot of the characters from back in the day and brought back the way they actually are and the way that we've always thought they should be.
And reading these All-Star Batman books, having all these characters in there, I feel like it's a compilation of every character in every way we've seen them in the media and in the old comic books. I feel like I'm reading the old Batman books. I feel like I'm sometimes even going a little bit of Adam West territory. I feel like I'm even going back into the Bruce Timm universe and in the Arkham franchise games. As I said, there was a character from the Arkham franchise games they made new for there and brought her into the All-Star Batman exactly how she looked in the video game. So this is literally, if you're a Batman fan, if you're not reading this, pick up issue number one or wait till volume comes out and read it. It will definitely be a great read for you.
Oh, yeah. Well, the next one up on the list, we have Batgirl and the Birds of Prey number 6. Who is Oracle? The conclusion. The new Oracle has put the birds in an untenable position. Do what Oracle wants, or their whole lives get made public. So how do they turn the tables? And now that Huntress has Phinice in her sights, can she pull the trigger? She's never hesitated to kill before, so why now? Art by Rose Antonio and written by Shauna Benson and Julie Benson.
Okay, next right here we have Deathstroke issue number 10, 4 days, part 2. Slade and Wintergreen's covert mission takes a stunning turn when they ask to protect the life of a man who's murdered thousands. Meanwhile, Dr. Villain reveals the truth behind Deathstroke's powers. Art done by Carrie Nord and written by Christopher Priest.
Okay. Next up, we're getting back into Detective Comics 948. This is Batwoman Begins Parts 1 and 2. This special two-part interlude spotlights team leader Batwoman. In the wake of the Night of the Monster Men, Argus has built a secret research city around the corpses of the mega monster that collapsed in Gotham Harbor, creating Gotham City's newest and most dangerous neighborhood, Monster Town. In issue 948, Batman and Batwoman need to get in there to find out who's been weaponizing monster blood. But who will they have to fight through to do it? Art is done by Ben Oliver and written by Marguerite Bennett and James T. Tinian IV.
I just want to say this cover for 948 looks amazing. The detail on this is perfect.
Yeah. If that's anything about Ben Oliver did the cover and he's doing the art inside, so it looks like the interior art, if it's anything, I guess it's going to be beautiful for this one.
Oh, my God. If I could draw, this would definitely be something I would try to copy just to see if I could get that perfect. This is an amazing cover. That's one thing I've been noticing, though, about Detective Comics. They've been coming out with some really good covers lately.
Yeah. Well, the cool thing is this is also, remember, this is the kind of like in TV, this would be called a backdoor pilot. This Batwoman Begins story is what we're going to use to spin off the new Batwoman, comic series.
And I was really happy to hear she's getting her own series. Like I said, I have some pajamas. They're my favorite pajamas, actually, of the first appearance of... One of the first appearances was back in the early days of Batman and Batwoman. And then it has their sidekicks on. And Batwoman just been such an iconic character. I was wondering when they would bring her back in her own series since we had her in the New 52. But next, we're going to move on to Green Lantern and Hal Jordan.
And more Lars Frickin' Fleece.
We're probably going to get more of that, definitely. Just that saying. Hal Jordan's in the Green Lantern's Core, issue number 12. Bio Light, part 5. Trapped and collected by Lar Freeze, the Green Lantern's core only hope is Hal Jordan and the White Lantern, Kyle Rayner. But can both two heroes save their friends before they all become playthings to the Avatar of Avarice? Art done by Ethan Van Sciver and written by Robert Venditti.
And this is one of the few titles that they have the same art and writer since the beginning. The last 12 issues have all been Ethan Van Sciver and Robert Venditti.
And the way this story is going on, I can definitely see why. It's the way it's progressed. If you would have probably changed up a writer's word, it probably would have been taking a different story route. So at least let them finish this and we might see somebody different.
Quite possibly. Next up, we got the Justice League of America Vixen Rebirth number 1. Spinning out of the pages of Justice League vs. Suicide Squad, she's one of the country's most successful businesswomen, an iconic fashion pioneer, a crusader for social justice, and an incredibly powerful member of the Justice League of America. But Moira McCabe's life isn't always this way, or wasn't always this way. Follow her path to becoming the heroic vixen in this crucial special. Art is done by Jamal Campbell and written by Jody Hauser and Steve Orlando.
Do you remember how we were saying for the next Justice League and Suicide Squad, what will the description be like since they seem to keep it under wraps until the book actually is out?
Yeah.
Well, they figured out a way to do so. So guys, bear with me. This is going to sound very broken up and very weird because that's what they're doing here. Justice League vs. Suicide Squad issue number 4. Redacted by order of Task Force X and director Amanda Waller and Redacted.
Redacted.
Redacted. Crew of Unstoppable. Redacted. Besiege Bell Rev to take position of the Lost. Redacted. And only unbelievable team up for Justice League and the Suicide Squad to prevent Redacted from preventing revenge on Amanda Waller. Oh my
god. Now,
goodness,
we already know what a lot of this is.
Told us nothing. Yeah, I figured out what they were doing
It's Maxwell Lord and whatever the name of his crew of unstoppable villains or whatever.
And that's why they just almost not a name, I guess.
To take possession of Lost, that one I'm not sure, but to prevent that redacted all here is basically references to Maxwell Lord and what he's doing.
Yeah, him and his team. So we'll figure that out. I did not pick up Justice League issue. The last issue, I think it was number 12. Probably would have given us a little bit more of an insight of what Snapper has in his arsenal. Maxwell has in his arsenal.
I have it over here. I've not read it yet.
But art is done by Fernando Parsian and written by Joshua Josiah Williams.
Joshua Williamson. And the next one we have up is New Superman number 7, Training Day Part 1.
I'll just say this book itself is definitely giving itself a better. I first thought this was going to be copying Superman and what he does. No, this is a completely different Superman.
Yeah, it's come into its own pretty good. So we got Training Day Part 1. To uncover the truth behind his mother's murder, the new Superman must reawaken his full power under the tutelage of this mysterious I Ching. But as training begins, Kanan Kong's ego isn't the only thing that's taking a beating. Plus, Baxi's return to his alma mater, the Academy of the Bat, has turned from triumphant to deadly. What shocking betrayal lurks in the shadows of the school that trained the new Batman of China? Art is done by Billy Tan, and it's written by Jin Wen Yang. Yeah, New Superman's been an interesting story. I can't wait till they actually get a chance to meet the real Justice League.
Same here. At least him meeting the rest of the Trinity. Have both Trinities meet each other.
That'd
be pretty awesome. But my friend, we went to Comic-Con. He bought, I can't remember how many issues was out at the time, but he bought every single issue at that point of the new Superman. He said he needed something new that he hasn't read before, and that was definitely something that stood out for him.
Yeah.
Well, next on our list, we have Red Hood and Outlaws issue number 6. The conclusion to Dark Trinity. Black Mass and the Red Hood go toe-to-toe beneath one police plaza, while above them Bizarro and Artemis clash in a battle of titanic proportion. The finale to the Dark Trinity is here. Don't miss it. Art done by Dexter Soy and written by Scott Liddell. I can't wait for this. This is one of my favorite series, too.
Yeah, it's been fun.
And it's funny, we might get a Batman in this book some point because the cover's awesome. I don't know if it's a variant or the real one, but this is going to be the one I'm going to have to buy. You have Bizarro and Artemis picking up the Batmobile. I'm sorry, you have Bizarro picking up the Batmobile while Artemis and Jason Todd take off the wheels to it as Batman's shadow is in the back. Now, if anybody remembers Red Hood, that's how he first was introduced to Batman, was taking the tires off his Batmobile. So this will be pretty interesting. I don't think they'll just put Batman on the cover if we're not going to see or get any mention of him.
Well, the next one is they're still continuing with all things Justice League versus Suicide Squad. That's where the Justice League of America rebirths and all that stuff all has to do with that series. Well, this is the Suicide Squad number 9, and it is the Justice League versus Suicide Squad tie-in. Finally, now you're going to find a little pattern here. Finally discover the true history behind Redacted by Order of Task Force X Director Amanda Waller. So you've got the true history behind something. Art done by
Go ahead. I was going to tell you.
Well, we got Lobo on the cover. Actually, it's that's the whole team of Maxwell Lord's guys.
Yeah.
So.
And they're crushing a skull. It just doesn't like good news on this cover. Like, these guys, whatever their name is that they're being called, if they even have one, they're scary. And once again, you have the Redacted by Order of Task Force X and Amanda Waller. So I wonder if we're going to get more of that coming on when the Suicide Squad and Justice League vs. Suicide Squad stores.
Yeah. Well, the art here is done by Riley Rossimo. And it's written by Simon Spurrier and Rob Williams.
That's definitely going to be interesting. Anything with Suicide Squad and Justice League right now for these next couple of weeks are going to be, I think, the best buy DC's trying to push right now. Well, next we have Supergirl issue number 5. And this, from reading this description, definitely ties back into what we're getting in the show as well. Reign of Cyborg Superman Part 5. As National City becomes a war zone, Cyborg Superman's plan to resurrect Argo City reaches its deadly final phases. Reign Argo City itself down upon the Earth? Supergirl is all that stands in the way of total destruction. But with the clock ticking and stakes rising, she'll need more than just brute force. She'll need the help of Cat Grant, out of all people. Art done by Brian Singh and written by Steve Orlando.
This is one that it's been hit or miss for me. I'm not sure if I'm going to continue picking it up at the moment. Because it's a matter of I've been having fun with it, but like I said before, I'm buying a lot more books than I really should be.
Right.
The wallet's going to start hurting soon.
Yeah, this is a story I miss some week, and I get another time it comes out just because the way we depend on what books I want to buy that week. So I haven't read the whole entire story. I picked up and read, I think the first or second time we got to see a Cyborg Superman. And I like what they're doing with her and him, but as you said, if I had to pick one, I probably wouldn't buy every single issue. I'd have to read the description. And this so far has been doing well to me.
Yeah.
I think it'll probably get to part six. Now, after part six, I don't know if I'll continue by the next one. I'll probably pick which stories they're doing for this. But Cyborg Superman's back, and as I said, we're getting him on the show, and we're seeing the similarities. I wonder which one will defeat him faster, the comic book or the show.
Yeah. So the next one up, though, we have Superwoman number six. Now, this one I've been loving. This feels like this is part of the Superman universe because a lot of the characters are stuff from that.
I was going to say, does this feel a little bit like the this could have been another story arc in Justice League Unlimited?
Possibly.
The way this is written.
Yeah. But this is basically, just like Detective has become the Batman team-up book with the team, the Superwoman is becoming the super team book.
Right.
So
we're getting all the people with the S's on their chest for this one.
Now, I'm just waiting to see Guardian show up, maybe Gangbuster. Has anybody heard of Gangbuster since the 80s or 90s?
I'm trying to remember. I'm going to have to Google him, actually.
He was basically a street level enforcer. It was busting up gangs and stuff.
Let's see what he looks like. Huh. To be honest with you, he's actually not. Like I said, I didn't get too much Superman actually until recent, but.
Yeah, you'd have to be reading.
He's not ringing a bell for me.
Yeah. Late 80s, early 90s. He and Guardian were more street level heroes.
I see he did team up with Guardian. But yeah, just saying. Oh.
You see him?
Yeah, I do. I'm just going on Google Images. Somebody made a comparison between him and Diggle.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that? I don't know about the character. Would you?
Actually, that would have been a good character for Diggle to be on Arrow.
Huh.
So.
And I'm looking at their costumes. Their costumes are actually similar depending on which era you're reading him.
Exactly.
Hmm. Well, who knows? That might have been where they got the idea from.
But we have Superwoman number six, Who Killed Superwoman, part six. In this penultimate chapter, Lana Lang prepares to grapple with the insane godlike Lena Luthor as her army of allies launches their assault on the Bizarre's Swarm. Will the combined might of Steel, Natasha, Maggie Sawyer and the MSCU, Atomic Skull, and Lex Luthor be enough to win the day? Plus, the secret origin of Lena Luthor is revealed. Art is done by Trevor Scott and Phil Jimenez, and is written by Phil Jimenez. See what I mean about the team-up? They're doing Steel, Natasha, Maggie Sawyer and the MSCU, the Metropolis Special Crimes Unit, Atomic Skull, Lex Luthor, and Superwoman.
Yeah, Superwoman, Batwoman. Steel, you could say Steel would be a good counterpart to
Batwing or Robin?
No, Azrael.
Possibly.
And then you have, who was the last one you said there? Oh, yeah, Atomic Skull, Clayface.
Yeah, so there's a lot of stuff in there.
I wonder if we might get a Supergirl come in at some points with this as well.
It's possible.
Okay, well, next on our list we have The Flash issue number 14, Rogues Reloaded Part 1. Central City is quiet, a little too quiet. Which means one thing, the rogues are up to something, and only the Flash can stop them. But first, Barry Allen needs to track down his classic cadre of villains who've vanished in advance of their greatest plan ever. Plus, artist extraordinaire Carmine D. Giamango returns. And art is done by Carmine D. Giamango and...
Gianna Domenico,
thank you. And Joshua Williamson.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome because I've always loved the Rogues.
Yeah, I did too. I've been waiting for this since I read the last issue and we got to see a little glimpse of Captain Cold at the end. You do not bargain with Captain Cold, by the way. I just want to say that.
You don't break the contract.
Just for you guys to give you a heads up, in the last issue that we were talking about, Captain Cold made a deal with somebody to get his gun back, and someone said, hey, the guy he was selling to said, hey, wouldn't it be a little bit more expensive if Captain Cold got his gun when they want to pay more for me? He says, I paid you already, but other people would pay me more. Well, he shot him frozen, basically saying, well, you don't mess with the Rogues. Once we say word, don't change it. Go back when we kill you.
So the next one is Titans number 7, and this is the one we told you about. A new threat brings Wally West face to face with the Man of Steel, and the two recognize each other as kindred spirits from another world. Plus, the Titans set up their new tower in New York City. Art is done by Lee Weeks and written by Dan Abnett. Remember we were saying, where's this tower going to be? Well, they're working. We already saw the Teen Titans are working out of San Francisco right now. Titans are going to be working out of New York.
All right. Well, last on our list, we have Wonder Woman issue number 14, Year 1 Conclusion. With Steve Trevor by her side, Diana faces the God of War and embraces her destiny as Wonder Woman. So it seems like we're finally going to get full circle of what we saw from the Rebirth. Art done by Nicola Scott and written by Greg Rucka. Yeah, this is Wonder Woman year one. Every single character that they've been making from Rebirth, Lisa Trinity, feel exactly like what we're used to. And in these past couple books, it seemed like Sharon and Steve are just getting closer and closer and stronger and bring us back to the Diane that we knew.
Yeah.
As I said, not trying to be funny, but you need a Steve Trevor with Lois if she is going to have a relationship. You need a Lois Lane with a Clark Kent. Without them, it's just kind of like, it doesn't feel like this is the full character without their counterpart.
That's for me, that was one of the things about New 52 that didn't feel right. Superman and Wonder Woman together just, for me, doesn't work.
Same here.
I'm just old school. I
just couldn't get behind it. I just could not get behind it. Like exactly. I said, it would work well if this was like an Elseworlds book, which they did with Injustice. Once Lois died, Superman and Wonder Woman got together, which made a lot of sense. But it was because Lois had died, not because he didn't want to be with her.
Yeah, so... this is a packed week. Like I said, 16 books plus Power Rangers. Plus you got Scooby-Doo. We got Power Rangers Justice League coming this week. Sometime in the next couple weeks, we'll get in issue 2 of Green Lantern's the Star Trek, which I had fun with the first one. The first one was fun.
Yeah, it was weird how they introduced them, if you ask me. It was kind of like they were just there. I thought we might see a little bit of a backstory.
Well, this is actually Volume 2. They already did a crossover last year.
Okay. See, I missed that one.
So this is continuing the story. Yeah, this is continuing the story after that.
Okay.
So... But that brings us, I think, to the end of the show this week.
Yeah, we did pretty well for not having too many news articles. We found some by the end of it.
Once again, we figured out how to talk for 2 hours.
Yes.
So, Vern, why don't you let everybody know how to find us?
Guys, you can find us on our Facebook and our Instagram, DC Superpowers Podcast, and you can find us on our Twitter, Superpowers DC. You can find me on my personal Instagram, HowlNatWolf. My Facebook is Vernon McWayne Moore, and my Twitter is Viella. Although, from now on, I think I might not be using too much of that. I don't really use Twitter as much as I do for DC Superpowers Podcast. So if you do see something there, it'll probably be a little bit more rare now.
Okay. And you can find me on Instagram and Twitter as GW1Ken. On Facebook, I'm just Ken Rose. You can also find the show on the Tangent Bound Network at tangentboundnetwork.com and the Weeby Geeks Network at weebygeekspc.com. And for that, remember, we're still looking, we're still giving away comic books. We're looking for reviews on iTunes. Go to iTunes. It's real simple. Just leave a rating and review. Let us know what you think of the show. And then after, as soon as we get 10 reviews, we'll give away a free comic book. We'll draw a name, get a hold of you, let you know that, hey, you won. You get free comics. How do I get a hold of you? And then we'll send them to you. Then every 10 after that, we draw a name out of the people who gave reviews and give away more books. We want to give away a lot of books. So,
yes, anything we do. We want to satisfy you guys. We want to make sure you're getting as much good stuff as we are. And if you can get something free, you wouldn't turn down anything free.
Right.
So just hit us up, leave a comment on iTunes. As I said, I'm going to try to see if I can put out something more on Instagram to let everybody know. Hey, free comic books. Once they see that, I'm pretty sure we might get someone to get on iTunes.
So you got anything else for this week, Vernon?
No, that's it. We're going to have a big action-packed week. Since we are going to get this crossover with DC Comics into Power Rangers, I do want to say now I'm even more excited for the movie. I've been excited, but now I'm really hyped, and we're getting that in a couple months actually.
Oh yeah, that comes out March.
Yep. So we'll probably let you guys know how that was just because we're gonna get this little crossover
when
the movie comes out.
Well, I believe that's all I had for this week also. So Vernon, I'll see you next week, and Super Friends, we'll see you next week.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.